This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to BFM 89.9. I'm Roshan Kanasin together with Wong Xiaoning. And we're speaking to a range of commentators and getting some analysis of the political developments over the past week that have led to this morning's culmination, that led to this morning's swearing in of Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin as the 8th Prime Minister of Malaysia. Now, continuing this discussion with us now is James Chai, a legal consultant and researcher working for Invoke, among others. Now, welcome to the show, James.
Thank you for having me.
So, James, what are your initial reactions to today's events? We're getting in from a range of analysts today.
I think even if we had 1 week to prepare for an eventuality like that, I think all of us still feel very disappointed. I think it feels like the country was hit three times. One, on the face of democracy, whereby win and loss just means very little now. Because in the past election, most Malaysians voted for Pakatan to win, but they also voted against an UMNO Barisan National Government. But now they are put back into power. So what this feels like is that any semblance of democracy has been removed from the country. The second blow to the country is corruption. Before the election, we had one of the largest conglomerate of individuals who are deemed to be corrupt. And now not only were they not punished by the people through a process of democracy, instead they are put back into power and they are endorsed by this new government. I think to orchestrate something so dramatic like that, you require a lot of favors and promises that borders on the line of corruption to the current government. And that's why I fear not only will there be corruption of money and positions, but there may also be corruption relating to values of the country. And the last blow here is racism. I think this current government that we have newly put into place is proponents of individuals who believe in oppression of certain minority groups. And that's why we don't think that the new government necessarily is evil, but it does imply that more doors will be closed for minorities in the future. And therefore, my feeling and my reaction is that it feels like you have taken three blows and now you're left with a bloody face and broken dreams.
And James, I want to ask you, what are your expectations going forward, though?
I know it's very difficult for most Malaysians to take in some result like that, especially when it's totally outside of their control. My expectation is that I know the next election, there will be fewer people going out to vote, which definitely won't be as high a turnout rate as the last election, because many people are not only disappointed, but they're also disillusioned. They feel like the simple process of voting now has no more meaning. But I hope that this would also usher in a group of people who believes in right and wrong. Because when you have rules being broken to such a dramatic extent, there will be a group of individuals in stark contrast who believes in the right thing to do. I hope this, however, would strengthen the resolve in individuals who believe in democratic values. But it's just that I know to make that leap from disillusionment to believing in the right thing to do again will take some time.
So, James, I want to ask you about your views here on the political allegiances on the state level now that Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin has been sworn in as the 8th PM, in particular with regards to Bersatu, where there seems to be a split between Tan Sri Muhyiddin's camp and Tun Mahathir's camp. How is this going to play out on the state level?
I think what has always been there was that there was a certain level of rivalry between Tun Mahathir's camp as well as Tan Sri Muhyiddin's camp. This is true the longest time, because I remember Tun Mahathir used to snub Tan Sri Muhyiddin for Dato' Sri Najib back then. They were also on disagreements on a lot of issues in Bersatu. But the first public declaration by Tun Mahathir that he felt betrayed by Tan Sri Muhyiddin is the first open fire, I think, to a warfare within the party. So Mahathir's camp now would be the proponents of anti-corruption, and they would think that they are fighting a just battle against working with kleptocrats or corrupt individuals. On the other camp, you have Tan Sri Muhyiddin, who is more amenable to principles as long as they acquire power, because they are open to working with plotters like Azmin Ali, as well as the UMNO PAS individuals, which consists of Dato Sri Najib as well as Zahid Hamidi. So on one end, the just battle is to fight against corruption. On Muhyiddin's end is to fight for the race. And that's why I think these lines would be drawn more clearly at the state level. The only surprise that we had today was that we actually realized the camp of Tun Mahathir is actually much weaker than what we thought, because he only managed to get 6 people to side with him out of 26 Bersatu members. So that means the party that is built on acquiring power in the last election hasn't been stable enough to strengthen any principles, resulting in Bersatu members more inclined to Tan Sri Muhyiddin because he's the newly formed government.
And James, I mean, last week we had the Sultan of Johor, he swore in a new chief minister who now leads a state government with BN, PAS and Bersatu. Can we expect new state governments to be formed this coming week?
I think the one that is most likely to be formed soon, I don't know whether it's this week or next week, is the Malacca state government. This is because even before today, there has been talks about UMNO already having the numbers together with Bersatu members, and therefore it's just a matter of selecting the right chief minister, and therefore they would already have formed a government sometime soon. The challenge, however, after today's battle line that's drawn between Mahathir's camp and Muhyiddin's camp, is that Kedah and Perak may seem like states that also may switch government. The reason for this is because Kedah, which is held by MB Mukris Mahathir, as well as Perak, which is by Faizal Azumu, both of these individuals are strong allies of Mahathir. And both states are also hung in the balance, whereby if few Bersatu members would switch over, then a new government would be formed. And therefore here, the battle seems to be, on one hand, individuals who still hold on to principles of not saying that they won't work with UMNO individuals who are involved in a corrupt regime, as well as people who are more inclined towards power. We are not clear how many Bersatu members in Kedah and Perak may actually switch over. The last thing I want to say is that there may also be something interesting in Selangor, because the development that we found lately is that Amiruddin, as well as Tian Chua, individuals who have been sided with Azmin Ali's camp in the past, has been treated with quite a lot of aggression by PKR members who are frustrated with the entire scenario and calling them traitors. Amiruddin is now currently Pakatan Harapan's Menteri Besar in Selangor. And therefore, I also foresee something may happen to the leadership there. But there won't be a change of government because Penang and Selangor can live without Bersatu members.
And on how will this new alliance and the new government impact party politics on the state level overall? Do you see any other states that could be impacted by this?
Most of the states that I've highlighted just now, which is Kedah, Perak, Melaka, Selangor, these are the ones that are most likely to be affected by it in terms of whether there will be a switch of government. But in terms of party politics, particularly to Bersatu, throughout history, we know that Tun Mahathir has never been comfortable with allowing someone that he didn't believe in to be in control, especially when it's relating to Muhyiddin, who he never believed was a good enough leader to be prime minister, and he has publicly declared now that he's not the right prime minister to hold the position. And therefore, I foresee him wanting to stage a return, either through a purge of the Muhyiddin camp inside Bersatu, or maybe forming something else outside. I don't know how that looks like, but Mahathir has never been shy to do that. He has ousted Tunku Abdul Rahman, Tun Hussein On, he has formed UMNO Baru, and he's ousted also Dato Sri Najib. So for the fact that he has done all of this, means that he wouldn't be close to doing something dramatic inside his party. The only limitation here is that he's already 94. And also for the fact that he is not in power now, as well as his current Bersatu party is quite a young party. So it is not, their feet are not that sunk onto the ground yet. So that's what I see happening.
And thank you for joining us on the line today, James.
Okay, thank you so much.
That was James Chai, a legal consultant and researcher working for InVogue, giving us a bit of a rundown of his views on this and how it could break out on the party level and the state level. I think the big question here is where Bersatu goes from here as well, if Tun Mahathir wants to maintain some semblance of influence over the party. And we're heading into a few messages now. And to take you there, we've got Sunday Bloody Sunday by U2. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.